Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Ireland is likely to suffer a severe funding shortfall within the next 15 years without a significant overhaul of the taxation system. The Éireachtas Committee on Budgetary Oversight is to be told today. Members of the Commission for Taxation and Welfare are due before the committee to discuss their recent report. And Tom MacDonald from the Nevin Economic Research Institute, who sat on the commission, joins me now. Tom, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Cormac.
I think the hearing was set for half five, if I'm not mistaken. Have you been and gone at this stage?
The hearing was set for half five, but it hasn't begun yet because there's a vote at the Dáil at the moment.
Okay. So House matters take precedence, but you will
exactly
appear before the members, and they will be asking you about a lot of the headlines that have emanated from your report. What would you be telling them, first of all? What do you want to impress upon them?
Well, the main finding of the Commission's report essentially is, as you stated earlier, that essentially the state has a funding problem as you get out into the 2030s, and this ultimately relates to the aging of the population. So that means pension costs, but also healthcare costs will rapidly increase, mm-hmm. while at the same time we'll have less people working, a lower working age ratio. That means less income tax receipts. In addition, if we actually achieve the net zero ambition that we all want to achieve, then that means much less revenue from motor tax, for example, petrol and diesel, areas like that. And of course, we have all of the ongoing infrastructure and other public service deficits that are there already.
We have a projected figure about how much extra the aging population, for example, in terms of pension and healthcare, will cost the state per annum. It's about 8 billion by 2030 or so, isn't that it, extra?
That's right. And it only increases beyond that. And I suppose this is the context of the report that also came out today from the Department of Finance in terms of how should we use the corporation tax windfall receipts. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the first thing to say on that is that we think that they are partially windfall receipts. And that means that you don't use it to replace a tax revenue. Instead, you put it into a fund and use it on once-off spending, maybe for the green transition, for example, or alternatively, you could use it as a kind of a rainy day fund to counter the next recession when it inevitably happens, but you certainly don't use it to pay for day-to-day spending or to finance tax cuts.
Well, we spoke with the Finance Minister, Michael McGrath, at the start of the programme, and that's a point that he actually made. But the question then, it's amazing, this increased cost of 8 billion euro, and I know about the time value of money and so on, but when you think back to the crisis that we face in this country and the IMF were telling us what to cut and where, one of the most severe adjustments we had to make in a year was 6 billion euro. Now we'll have to find by 2030 an extra 8 billion euro. Now then, where do we find that money, I suppose, in terms of taxation in your commission?
Yeah, I suppose that the first thing today is that's an 8 billion increase by 2030. So if you think about it, that's about a 1 billion cumulative increase every year. So it's much less hurtful than a 6 billion once-off hit. And also, this is in the context of public spending maybe goes up by 5% every year. So rather than being actual austerity, it'll simply mean a smaller increase in public spending or increased taxation. So what it means in terms of increased taxation and what we actually found was, well, first of all, that revenue must increase as a share of national income. So that could be taxes or it could be PRSI. So we felt that there should be a broadening of the base of tax across all categories. So what we're talking about there is really think about what we're doing in terms of tax breaks and tax expenditures. These are often distortive, they're often regressive, they're non-transparent, their economic rationale is often very, very weak. Start by reducing those, if not getting rid of them. Then look at areas where you can minimize damage to the economy. So, for example, increases in income taxes are more damaging than increases in property tax or inheritance tax, for example. And we found that we don't particularly tax capital very, very highly in Ireland. So we had a significant focus on land taxes or site value taxes.
So wealth taxes,
increasing
basically.
The local. Well, taxes of various types.
What I'm hearing for you is you're advising this government and prospective governments to tax wealth instead of taxing workers and work. Is that it, basically?
Partially, yes. But as it happens, all types of taxation will probably have to contribute in some way. So in terms of labour taxes or taxes on workers, probably the big change there will have to be increases in PRSI, essentially to fund the pensions deficit as we get out into the 2030s. And the earlier we do that, the less we have to increase it by in the future. So if we do it early, it means the current generation are contributing. If we wait too long to do it, it means only that the future generation will have to take the whole of the burden.
So would you be advising the minister to increase PRSI next budget?
Well, the Commission on Tax and Welfare obviously takes a more medium-term perspective. So we didn't look at Budget 23 or Budget 2024 specifically. But my own personal view would be that, yes, we do need to be thinking about increasing PRSI as soon as Budget 24 or Budget 2025. Obviously, the issue with Budget 2024 is we're currently in a cost of living crisis at the moment. Mm-hmm. That would suggest that maybe this isn't the right time to increase taxes. But against that, we also have record employment. We have a very low unemployment rate. We have record savings in the economy. And that does suggest that some cohorts within society could certainly afford to take on board additional tax increase.
The argument here, Tom, in terms when you propose a tax on wealth or extra taxes on wealth, I'm not saying I subscribe to this, but the argument is often made that if you tax wealth, you're taxing enterprise and potential job creation. If you tax labour, you're closer to productivity and economic activity, and it's a healthier tax. That's the argument. What do you say to it?
Yeah. What I would say is that actually a lot of our recommendations are about taxing capital stocks rather than taxing capital flows. So it's the assets themselves, such as land, which basically nobody is creating more land. Therefore, you cannot disincentivize production of land by taxing it more.
But what if the owners liquidate the asset and take them away? Not land, obviously, but take the asset behind it, the capital behind it.
Well, obviously, with a net wealth tax, that the issue of capital flight and indeed valuation can be issues. But in terms of residential property taxes or land taxes, that's very much not an issue. And actually, in terms of where our emphasis was, it was those type of taxes. Also, reforms to capital gains in terms of principal primary residences, areas like that as well. But most of what we're talking about is essentially getting rid of the generosity or reducing the generosity of a lot of tax breaks that are out there, particularly, for example, inheritance and gift tax, which is a tax which has very little impact on the economy. And again, property taxes, site value taxes, those type of things. In the consumption space, again, you'd be talking about taxes on pollution by and large. You have to be careful there because obviously they tend to be regressive. But in some cases, there is still a case for increasing them.
When you say end tax breaks, sometimes the government uses tax breaks to incentivize activity. For example, in there's talk of incentivizing developers and giving them a little tax break to get them into building more housing, which we desperately need. Do you see any case for tax breaks in that regard?
It's actually very, very limited. Actually, arguably the best thing the government can do is basically stay away from the sector. Historically, the interventions have been often counterproductive. Generally, you want to look at fixing the housing sector from a medium to long term perspective rather than reacting to immediate changes. Often there's a lag effect associated with these interventions, but these interventions tend to often have a huge deadweight cost. So a lot of what would have happened anyway. Mm-hmm. So you tend to get very, very bad bang for your buck. There's very, very few cases where tax expenditures are actually justified. So research and development is a good one because the market will always underproduce it because it can't get all of the benefits. But in terms of the housing sector, the advice there would be to stay well alone and not make these short-term interventions. It's about dealing with supply over the longer term. These kind of interventions are often more counterproductive.
Can I ask you a final question then? In terms of the budget next autumn and subsequent budgets as well, when the government is looking for areas or maybe people, workers, in which to tax them a little bit more, where is there scope for more taxation? And I know you say across the board, but who can bear this most? Because we know that some people on the lower end of the salary scale are suffering badly. We often hear about the struggling income people that are they also feel they need a break, that they get no incentives or help in any way. Where is the scope most to increase taxation, in your opinion?
Well, if I'm looking at it purely from an economic point of view, but also in terms of who can bear the burden, probably what you'd look at is something, if you were leaving aside the political economy considerations, which are, of course, always there, but you would probably look to introduce the site value tax. Obviously, that's probably going to take more than a few months, so that's maybe the subsequent budget, but increasing the local property tax, reducing the generosity of capital acquisitions tax, removing some of the tax breaks that shouldn't be in the system, such as Help to Buy. It's those kind of measures, rather than increasing income tax per se, or indeed increasing PRSI, that I would most look at. In addition, the 9% VAT rate should not be retained in the budget as well. So that would raise a significant amount of money.
I can hear the cries already, Tom. I can hear the
those type of
crying foul already from the hospitality sector.
I know, and of course that is the problem, because there's every sector will always come to government and say, look, we are special, we need special treatment, and what we're saying is that actually nobody should get special treatment. Everyone should be treated the same. So it's that kind of simplicity that's actually helpful.
All hands on deck. Tom McDonald from the Nevin Economic Research Institute, thank you very much indeed for joining us.